So I'll go back to verse 21 and read all the way up. And there's also a few little purports sprinkled in between here, a few lines. And this is verse 21, so this is, something's going on here between the demigods, and they're trying to make some kind of agreement. Translation: immediately endeavor to produce nectar, which a person who is about to die may drink to become immortal. The demigods are speaking. Oh, demigods, the demigods are speaking to other demigods. Oh, demigods, cast into the ocean of milk all kinds of vegetables. No, not actually. Who's speaking? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking, I think. Yeah, he's speaking to the demigods. Oh, demigods, cast into the ocean of milk all kinds of vegetables, grass, creepers, and drugs. Then, with my help, making Mandara Mountain the churning rod and Vasuki the rope for churning, churn the ocean of milk with undiverted attention. Thus the demons will be engaged in labor, but you, the demigods, will gain the actual result, the nectar produced from the ocean. One line purport. It appears that when different kinds of drugs, creepers, grass, and vegetables are put into this milk, and the milk is churned, as milk is churned for butter, the active principles of the vegetables and drugs mix with the milk, and the result is nectar. You want to try that? Okay, let's see if we can get some grass and some milk and some drugs. I don't know what drugs you should get, but that's what it says. Bhagavatam. Okay. My dear demigods, with patience and peace, everything can be done. We read that again. My dear demigods, with patience and peace, everything can be done. But if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. Therefore, whatever the demons ask, agree to their proposal. Krishna's tricking the demons. A poison known as Kalakuta will be generated from the ocean of milk, but you should not fear it. And when the various products are churned from the ocean, you should not be greedy for them or anxious to obtain them, nor should you be angry. More good instructions. Be equipoised and just let the demons do their thing. Krishna's advice. Another purport. It appears that by the churning process, many things would be generated from the ocean of milk, including poison, valuable gems, nectar, and many beautiful women. The demigods were advised, however, not to be greedy for the gems or beautiful women, but for waiting patiently for the nectar. The real purpose was to get the nectar. I guess nectar is better than ladies, huh? That's what it says here. Some people think ladies are the nectar, right, ladies? You guys think you're the nectar? But, you know, there's all kinds of nectar around. Not used, but, you know, ladies in general, they think, you know, we're the nectar for the men, but sometimes you get Kalakuta, you know, something else. Everybody awake today? No, I don't think so. Anyway, so there's different kinds of nectar. And if you need a wife, you can try this, you know, churn some milk and see if you get a wife from that. Those of you who are worried about astrological arrangements when you get married, churn it out and see what happens. No reaction. Okay, everybody's contemplating this. Okay, Sukadev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, after advising the demigods in this way, the independent Supreme Personality, the best of all living entities, disappeared from their presence. Now he's given the advice. Now he's gone. Then Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, after offering their respectful obeisances to the Lord, returned to their abodes. All the demigods then approached Bali Maharaj. Okay, here we go. Verse 28. Maharaj Bali, a most celebrated king of the demons, knew very well when to make peace and when to fight. Thus, although his commanders and captains were agitated and were about to kill the demigods, Maharaj Bali, seeing that the demigods were coming in to him without a militant attitude, forbade his commanders to kill them. Purport. Vedic etiquette enjoins griha satrum api praptum vishvatam akututubayam. When enemies come to their opponent's place, they should be received in such a way that they will forget that their animosity between the two parties. Bali Maharaj was well conversant with the arts of peacemaking and fighting. Thus he received the demigods very well, although his commanders and captains were agitated. This kind of treatment was prevalent even during the fight between the Pandavas and the Kurus. During the day, the Pandavas and Kurus would fight with the utmost strength, and when the day was over, they would go reach each other's camp as friends and receive and be received as such. During such friendly meetings, one enemy would offer anything the other enemy wanted. That was the system. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobista Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Siva Gaura Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Kshatriya Dharma, etiquette amongst the fighters. What can we say about this? Should we speak about fighting etiquette? Is that a good subject? No, you don't want to talk about that. All right, what should we talk about? Should we talk about today's type of fighting etiquette, what goes on as fighting etiquette today? Oh, it's horrible. It's brutal. There's no etiquette. There's no kindness. There's no chivalry. There's only brute force and violence. That's all. That's called war today. Today's wars are brutal. Really, really brutal. We're supposed to be more advanced than we were years ago, but we've become more like animals. Really. If you knew what was going on in the world, you would cry just to hear about it. It's so horrible how cruel people are to each other. What even the slightest bit of remorse about what's going on? Men have been turned into animals by today's society. Literally animals. Vicious, ferocious, ruthless, without any sentiments, without any culture. Animals. But here we see, well, actually, there is an etiquette, and that fighting was done according to certain rules and regulations and respect for the other individual. It was almost like a sport. There was some booty or some wager that was definitely going on. It was serious business, but still they observed the etiquette. And because of that, now we read about Kshatriyas. They're part of the Vedic culture. There is chivalry, honor, charity, magnanimity, valor, courage in battle, all these qualities. It was done, people had culture. They had a sense of devotion, along with a sense of practical understanding of how life goes on in relationship to spiritual culture and material, what we say, values. Nowadays, it's just useless. People throw bombs in marketplaces and little children get blown up. And they think we gained some victory. This is going on. It's been going on for time immemorial, at least in the 20th century. Not 20th century, but in this last 1,000 years. Just brutal, horrible wars. But Kshatriyas had culture, they had value, they had prestige, they had a certain etiquette about them. And Bali Maharaj, when he sees the demigods coming, although his commanders and his captains are agitated, saying, we're going to talk now. So that's what they did. And one of the qualities of a Kshatriya is that that if you ask them for anything, they have to give. That's the quality of a Kshatriya. No matter what it is, when Karna was asked to give his... He had built-in armor. He was born with armor on his chest. He was the son of the sun god, Bhishma. He was the most powerful fighter on the battlefield. He was a match for Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev was invincible. But Karna was right up there. He was better than Arjuna. And Krishna knew it. Nobody could defeat Karna. But I don't remember who, but someone asked him, can you give your armor in charity? He did. He cut the armor out of his chest and gave it in charity because he was asked. That's the nature of a Kshatriya. They'll keep their promise no matter, even at their own expense. Prabhupada tells the story how during the battle of Kurukshetra, they were fighting. And at night they would come to each other's camps and they would sit and talk and like friends. And one time, Arjuna came, and he was there with Duryodhana. And Duryodhana said, oh, Arjuna, you've come. Please, sit down. Is there something I can do for you? He said, you want to win the war? You want to make peace? You want to end the war? You want to... He was telling him, you know, whatever you want, we'll give you. This was Duryodhana. Duryodhana had no, you know, he was known as envy personified. But still, he was following Kshatriya Varna, or Kshatriya Dharma. And Arjuna said, no. Of course, that would be an insult to take that promise. He said, but I do want a promise. Actually, what happened before that is that Bhishma, Dave, was criticized by Duryodhana. You're not fighting to your capacity. You got sentiment for the Pandavas. Therefore, you're holding back your chivalry. That was an insult. Ooh, was that an insult for Bhishma Dev? You know, because, you know, he was like a snake that got stepped on. Ooh, he was angry. He said, all right, tomorrow I will kill Arjuna and the whole Pandava army single-handed. He had the capacity to do it, too. And he said, I will kill the Pandavas. And he said, I have 5 arrows. You keep these 5 arrows, and tomorrow you give me these 5 arrows, and I will kill these 5. I will use these 5 arrows to kill the Pandavas. So Duryodhana had the 5 arrows, waiting for the next day to happen. And Krishna said, you know, Duryodhana's got those 5 arrows. Arjuna, go ask him for it. So he did. When Duryodhana offered a benediction or a promise, he said, my dear Duryodhana, please give me those 5 arrows. Duryodhana didn't even hesitate. He gave those 5 arrows because he had given his promise that whatever Arjuna wanted, he would fulfill that desire. So the next day, when Bhishma heard what happened, he was even more upset. And he fought so hard. In fact, the battle was going on. He was annihilating the Pandava army. And then he came at Arjuna. And it was a fight, and there was no match. And Arjuna, with Krishna on the chariot, he was losing. Bhishma was firing at him and smashing the chariot. It killed his horses, broke his wheels. The chariot fell down. At that time, Krishna jumped into the fight. He had no choice. Kuntiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyasi. Krishna, he can break his promise. Some people say, you know, Ram's really nice because when he says something, he does it. But Krishna, you never know what's going to happen. Because when he'll make a promise, you know, and then he'll change it. You still want to worship Krishna? His cane is crooked. You see that? He keeps a cane and it goes like this. That means don't trust me. Not exactly like that, but it has some meaning. Anyway, Krishna made a promise. I'm not going to fight. That was his promise. But when he saw Arjuna was about to be killed by Bhishma Dev, he jumped down from the chariot, grabbed the chariot wheel that was on the ground, and came running at Bhishma Dev. He was so angry that he dropped his charger in the run. And there's a beautiful scene with Krishna. It's a painting. Actually, Krishna's running with the chariot, and his charger's falling off. And Bhishma's going, now my desire has been fulfilled. Krishna's fighting with me. And Bhishma was shooting arrows at Krishna, and Krishna was accepting those arrows. And this is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Like a lover gives the beloved love bites. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is what he was saying. That's how Krishna was accepting those arrows, like loving responses from his lover. And Bhishma Dev was feeling the same way because Krishna was accepting it that way. And Krishna, Bhishma Dev is saying, now the fulfillment of all my desires has been fulfilled. And then he offered beautiful, beautiful prayers to Krishna. And there's a whole series of prayers. He just glorifies Krishna as Parthasarathi. Because he's in the mood of kshatri, he's in the mood of chivalry. And he was seeing Krishna, and he wanted to see Krishna in that mood. He wanted to fight with Krishna. That was his rasa. That's called chivalry. Of course, that's one of the sub-rasas. But the mood is dasya-ras with the attachment to chivalry. Dasya-ras. Dasya-ras means servant. He was serving Krishna by fighting with Krishna. Krishna likes to fight. Did you know that? Well, where do we get our fighting propensity from? Krishna. Right? Krishna, these propensities that we have are coming from Krishna, because it's in God, it's in Krishna, it's in the Supreme. Therefore, it exists within the soul. When Krishna wanted to come to the material world, he had to have an excuse. And that excuse was to fight with the demons. So he arranged Jayan Vijay to somehow offend or make a mistake against the four Kumaras so he could come in the material world and fight. He doesn't go to Gold's Gym to work out, but he comes to the material world to fight. That's Krishna. He likes to fight. There are certain people who like to fight. There was one devotee in our movement. His name was Udareda. He was a Green Beret Marine. He used to jump out of helicopters in Vietnam, and he would just run into fire zones. And it was just like, this would really turn him on. I mean, for some of us, we think, I don't even want to watch a war movie. It's so horrible. But this was his life. He joined the Hare Krishnas, and there was nothing to do. You know, he didn't want to twirl some incense or cut some vegetables, you know. What's he going to do? So he would always have that, you know, that energy. So Prabhupada said to him, when you feel like that, just do some push-ups. So Prabhupada got down and started doing push-ups. He said, you should do like this, you know. Yeah, that's the one time that Prabhupada did that. But one time the devotees were in Germany. It was in Germany, and it was Janmashtami, and the festival had just completed. And Udareda was there, and the temple was kind of full because devotees had come for the celebration. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and some bikers, some really Hell's Angels, really, you know, the best of the Hell's Angels, guys that, you know, you look at them, they look like Yamadutas, you know. I mean, have you seen these guys? I'm from America, and boy, I've seen a lot of them. Their girlfriends look just like them, you know. In fact, you can't tell the difference. You know? And they act the same way, too. So anyway, they decided, let's have some fun, because they got drunk. And so they said, let's go to the Hare Krishna temple. So they did, and they took their bikes. They call them pigs, or they call them hogs. That's what they call their bikes, hogs. And they just crashed right through the window. It was a storefront. In the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then all of a sudden, the devotees woke up, and it was a big fight. There was these three bikers and all these devotees, and there was fighting. So it was a good fight. And then Uddarada came up, and he said, and he saw the scene, he said, thank you, Krishna. And he just moved the other devotees aside, and he had this little bar about this big. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Gordatai Ki Jai. He had this bar, and he single-handedly beat those three guys. Two of them ran up, out, and never came back, and one didn't get up. He went to the hospital. So he did it alone. That's a kshatriya. Fighter knows how to fight. We need kshatriyas in our movement. There are many devotees who have those skills. Sometimes you wonder, you know, you can't engage certain people in cutting vegetables or just like twirling incense or, you know, like, you know, washing floors. They have this, you wonder, you look at them and they think, why is he always look angry? Because he's not properly engaged, that's why. So, Kshatriya Dharma, and Prabhupada talks about this in many of his lectures, that we need a class of devotees who are Kshatriyas in our movement. They should be leaders, managers, protectors of all the devotees, and fighters. Whenever there's a fight, they should come forward and fight. Prabhupada writes this, yeah. When we got attacked, I was there in 1973. The temple in New Vrindavan got attacked by a motorcycle gang. And they came in with shotguns, they shot up the roof, and they shot 4 devotees. One devotee died later from the bullet wounds. A couple years later he died. But after that happened, we told Prabhupada about that. And I know what Prabhupada did? He said, you guys should train to fight. And the whole New Vrindavan was an army camp. We were doing left, right, march, push-ups, jumping jacks, and everything. I'm serious. You can check the history. Who's that Bhajan Kirtan singer? Vyasiki. Vyasiki's second book describes it in detail, I think the 3rd or 4th chapter, of what happened in New Vrindavan. And Uddarada came on Prabhupada's request, and he trained all the devotees. And we were shooting rifles. And good sadhana, right? Come to your sadhana this morning, make sure your rifle's clean. It was like that. It went on, and we were ready because New Vrindavan was a place where we would always get attacked. We got attacked so many times by motorcycle gangs, by people in the area, by just people would shoot at us. They would drive their cars on the road and run the devotees off the road. Even women and children, they would push off the road with their cars. They wouldn't hit them, but they would just come. And the ladies would have to dump in a ditch. It was like that. For years, we were under that kind of, you know, energy. And Prabhupada wanted devotees to be able to defend themselves. He wanted a class of kshatriyas, because he knew society is just violent, and if we're not ready to protect, and the mood is protection, it's not aggression. That's the whole thing. A kshatriya is not an aggressor. Not at all. They don't get agitated and act. They respond to a situation accordingly. Their minds are strong, their intelligence is sharp, and they know exactly what to do. And Prabhupada wanted a class of devotees like that, and to more or less be there to protect the brahmanas, the cows, ladies, children, old people. This is mentioned in First Canto that these 5 types of persons require protection. And if we fail to protect any one of these 5, we get a reaction for not acting. This is the kind of offense you get when you don't act. If you fail to protect these five categories of living entities, there's a reaction for that. And so Prabhupada wanted Kshatriyas who were good managers and also skilled in fighting like that. So there are many devotees who do have fighting skills, but it's not organized. I was in, Calcutta. And I was at the temple. It was the year before. It was Gaur Purnima, just after Gaur Purnima, a few days after. And the devotees were telling me, just on Gaur Purnima night, we got attacked by a whole band of people wheeling sticks. They just came in and started beating up the devotees. It happens all the time. If you just do a little research around the world. So Prabhupada wanted what is called Kshatriya Dharma. Kshatriya Dharma is not only military, not only fighting, but leadership and protection. It's welfare. It's taking care of devotees. Kshatriyas are in the mood of, they're like, how to take care of devotees. Make sure that devotees get whatever they need, all aspects of their life, material, spiritual. Sometimes we just put someone as a manager, and they have some managing skills, and that's nice. But a manager should be both a fighter and a protector. And Krishna says, Chaturvanya Mayasrusa Guna Karma Vibhata. I've created these four classes of men. These are my arrangements. So Krishna's created the Brahmin class, the Kshatriya class, the Vaishya class, and of course, in this age, everyone's Sudra. But training brings out a person's qualities and character and then engages them accordingly, and that service can be used to create a social system that is balanced and can cover all aspects of, what we say, activities, services, and material responsibilities, needs like that. So therefore, this Kshatriya Dharma is still somewhat weak in our society. And Prabhupada said, Vanashram Dharma is where we have still yet to work on. How to create a society that has these four classes of men who are and ladies engaged according to their nature, which gives complete service and facility to the ashram and to the yatra, like that. Yep. So here, we're learning a little bit about Kshatriya Dharma. Of course, we're not Kshatriyas. We're not Brahmanas. We're not Vaishyas. Definitely not Sudras. But we're devotees who can be engaged according to one's nature. Krishna says in two places in the Gita, in the 18th chapter and in the 3rd chapter, one should be engaged according to their nature. And one is engaged according to their nature. So we do have many devotees who have that fighting spirit. Sometimes it comes out in the wrong way. But when it's engaged in Krishna consciousness and it's directed by Shastra and developed through philosophical training and teaching, then we have strong leadership. Because Prabhupada started our movement with a class of brahmanas. He wanted brahmanas. But then, later on, he wanted the brahmanas to be trainers for the other varnas. That's mentioned in the 1974 Morning Walk lecture in Vrindavan. You should listen to that lecture. It's 1 hour long. It's really a long morning walk. Usually Prabhupada's morning walks are about 30 minutes, 25. This one's 1 hour long. He speaks about the whole Vanashram system. But Prabhupada started by training devotees to become Brahmins, develop Brahminical quality. But he knew that not everyone would be of that nature. So when a class of Brahmanas was created, then they could evaluate and train others according to their nature. We have people who are like the Vaishya mood. Merchants, bankers, what we say, cow protecting, like that. People who take, business and commerce, the economics of the society. who are, have that, you know, there's some people, you just tell them a little bit about, you know, business, and they can create a business scheme in any moment. Like, did you hear that little story? It's a joke, but it's kind of like a nice little story. Some of the, in India, there's a class of businessmen, they call them the Marwadis, right? We have any Marwadis here? Yeah, you're, okay. Anyway, no offense. So, a Marwadi and a peasant are sitting on the train. And all of a sudden, this is in India, a mosquito falls on the head of the peasant. So the peasant grabs the mosquito and eats it. The Marwadi's watching. So it goes on for a little while. And then a little later on, a mosquito comes and lands on the head of the Marwadi, and he takes it and goes to the peasant. You want to buy this? Business, huh? It's got a good business mind. Always thinking, you know, how to... So we have to, you know, people have certain tendencies. It's just we can't neglect to reject those tendencies. If we do, we have a dysfunctional society. You know, it's just, we need to... Okay, is that was all right? Okay, thank you. It's okay. Well, there's worse stories than that, but anyway. So this is what Prabhupada wanted, to have a class of brahmanas created, and then they could evaluate other devotees and see how to engage people according to their natures, their propensities, their abilities like that. And then people are happily engaged like that. And so we read in Bhagavatam, you know, Bali Maharaj was a Kshatriya, but he was a Vaishnava also. Of course, he was born in a class of demons. He was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, but he had all Vaishnava qualities. And when he saw the commanders from the demigods come, you know, he probably suspected they had some motivation. And Krishna told them what they should do, you know, and he made a plan to trick the demons. Because in politics, you don't tell the truth. There's two places you don't tell the truth, in politics and in business, right? Right? Because if you tell the truth, yeah, it's true, Prabhupada says that. He said, how can you be honest in business? You just can't, you know, it's just like, for you I make no profit, or for you I make only a little profit. Only 500%. Something like that. So, you know, business and ethics don't go together. It's like oxymoron, right? So it's just the way it is. And in politics, too, politics means you win by any means necessary. That's politics. Just win. Doesn't matter. You just got to win somehow. So people use all kinds of methods to cheat. But here, that's in Kali Yuga, but we see in Vedic culture, it wasn't like that. People had a sense of value, a sense of etiquette, a sense of, what we say, spiritual acumen that let them use that first. And this is really important. This is really important. Listen to this. Your character is more important than fulfilling your material desires. If you have to fulfill your material desires at the expense of losing your character, don't do it. Or if you have to sacrifice character in order to fulfill, it's not worth it. Because character is what makes a Vaishnava. His culture, his character, his behavior, his activities are the essence of a Vaishnava's worth. So, therefore, here we see Bali, he's keeping his character, he's keeping his etiquette. He has some suspect that the demigods are here to do something. There's some trick, but he's telling his commanders, don't do anything. Let's talk. Kshatriya dharma, Kshatriya etiquette, like that. Okay, so my point is that Prabhupada wanted Vanashram. He wanted devotees to be engaged according to their propensities. In 1974, he said, we are losing many devotees. Why? Because although they're chanting Hare Krishna and they're engaged in devotional service, they're not engaged properly. And it was difficult because we only had so many devotees, and Prabhupada was trying to put devotees around the world in order to open up temples and spread Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada knew he didn't have much time left. He knew, he said, I was old, I'm racing against time, I already had three heart attacks. Prabhupada had two heart attacks on a boat, and he had the third one in 1967. Three heart attacks. And the third one, he prayed to Krishna, my mission is not complete, please give me some more time. Krishna gave him 10 more years. Prabhupada's health was very bad, even while he was with us. One of his kidneys was not at all functioning. He was functioning on one kidney. But Prabhupada was ruthless in using time, trying to spread Krishna consciousness. But he saw devotees weren't coming up to the standard. Therefore, he said, we must start this Vanashram College to train devotees how to become Brahmanas, how to become Kshatriyas, and how to become Vaishnas. There's no such thing as training for Sudras. Like that. So that was Prabhupada's desires. So this, as a society, we still have to think what we need to do in order to come up to that standard. Because we bring devotees in, but how to engage people? That's where the Vanashram College comes. There's where training comes. There's where education comes. Not just bring devotees in, engage them because we need this service done, put them in this service. That's nice, that's surrender, but that can only go on for some time. And after a while, a person's propensities can be developed through education like that. Sometimes we fall into our own propensities just by the process of devotional service, but that doesn't always happen. That doesn't always happen. That's why Prabhupada wanted this Vanashram College. He said it must be established like that. Okay, so questions.